Good morning to each and every one this morning. So good to see you as always. We have a few people missing this morning because of this being a holiday weekend and some of the visiting and traveling. And we have two or three people out this morning that are sick. But we're so glad that you're here and we welcome you here. What a surprise though to see here. We're always blessed and surprised all the time, you know. We look around and here comes our daughter and grandsons and son-in-law and a grandson. Yeah, grandson. The other grandson's still down in the storm, I guess. All right, well, we welcome each and everyone this morning. It's just a great day, and God's been good to us, and God is still blessing us, and we're just here to praise Him and thank Him for it. I want to share a few verses from Psalms 1 as we begin our worship service. Reads like this: Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law doth he meditate day and night. For he shall be like a tree planted by the river of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the shaft which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Amen. Let's praise Him.
For hymn of worship this morning, we're going to use number 198, singing the first and last verse, and Benny will have her prayer. It's over, man.
God, our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, we come, Heavenly Father, with thanksgiving. We're so thankful to have a God like you who is loving, compassionate, and caring, providing for us. Heavenly Father, you're just so good to us. You've blessed us through this past week, given us strength and health, and provided our daily needs. Heavenly Father, we thank you for it. We look to you, Heavenly Father, and we recognize that you are the only one God, the high and holy one, that Heavenly Father, you're above all things, that you have all things in your hand. Heavenly Father, most of all, you have a great care for mankind, and we thank you for that. So Heavenly Father, this morning as we come together, we're here because we love you. Because Heavenly Father, you loved us in such a wonderful way that you even went to extents to give your son Jesus as a sacrifice that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Thank you, Jesus, for that. And so Heavenly Father, now we come to just say thank you and to praise you for your goodness. And ask Heavenly Father to help us. We ask Heavenly Father that you look into our lives and you'll bless each and every person here, Heavenly Father, that Heavenly Father, that no evil will come upon them, that Heavenly Father, they'll not be grieved or pained by the things of the world, that they'll be able to enjoy the blessings that you have for them throughout this coming week. Help them to be victorious over all those things they'll be faced with that will hinder them. We know Satan is always throwing things in our way, wanting to trip us up and cause us difficulty, but Heavenly Father, we pray for each person standing here this morning that they'll have victory over him. We can do that because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Heavenly Father, forgive us for where we fall short. Help us, Heavenly Father, to be the people that you'd have us to be. In Jesus' name we praise you and thank you for it. Amen.
For communion hymn, we're going to be using number 264, sing the first and last verse.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other found I know. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fountain I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
I'll be reading to Matthew 26:26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for your remission of sin. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine, until the day when I drink it new with you in my kingdom." The proud Father takes it. Shall we pray?
Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the opportunity you granted us together in your house today. As we are now at the table, we thank you now for the loaf and the cup represents the broken and bruised body that one who died on Calvary's cross. Through him we could have a life and have it everlasting. Now go with us through the other exercises of service, guard and guide and direct us. Save us in the ends, our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, thank you.
Okay, a couple of things to share with you. It's on your bulletin there, but we'll go over it anyway. Tonight we'll have our Bible study, probably.
All right, we're finally going to make that, and we've still got two chapters to go.
And tonight we hope to get through the chapter 15, and then maybe hopefully next week the next one, when we'll get on to something else. And then this Friday be the first Friday night of September, and we'll be looking forward to the Fun Food Fellowship night, so we encourage you to come and be a part of that. And so we look forward to those things that are taking place. Nothing else then in the way of announcement. Well, we're going to have a birthday. That's about Wednesday. Is that Wednesday? That's Wednesday. Oh,
maybe,
man.
I don't know.
Huh?
One of the days this week.
One of the days this week.
Yeah.
Well, happy birthday to you on the 4th of this month.
Thank you.
Too bad in the day we'd sing to you. What a pity. Boy, it'd be a joy. All right. Let's...
Let's turn then to our concerns and our prayer list this morning. We have several things I want to share with you here. Vern's not here this morning. He's been very faithful here, and so we want to pray for him. He's not able to be here with Vern. And Wayne is absent this morning. There's Fanny. And so we pray that Wayne will be strengthened up and help him and bless him. And then Bergen's not here this morning because he's ill. I won't tell you what Kathleen told me. But bless his heart, we really seriously are sorry that he's not able to be here, because anytime we miss the Lord's service, that's gathering with the people, it's not good, it's bad for us, and we miss that, so we wish they could be here. Okay, who else? Frank's not here, and he's probably visiting with this holiday weekend. I don't know, or is he sick, you know? Okay. All right, well, look around and see who's not here. And they're here, not here because maybe of an illness that we don't know about. They're not here because maybe they're traveling. And so if you know what they're doing or whatever they're doing, let's pray for them that God will help them and minister to them in whatever way that they need to be ministered to. Further on our prayer list, and Juanita Jones, we can take off of our prayer list. That's Vernon's sister, and she is doing real well. She come through operation and so forth, doing well, and everything's done well for her, so we could take her off of our prayer list. Praise the Lord. Isn't it wonderful that we can look on our prayer list and we see changes there, and we see people come on and people goes off? That's really great. We see the working hand of God in their people's lives and such. Let's see who else. My brother Graham, talked to him on the way out this morning and so forth. Last Sunday when I stood here and said my brother was doing good, they were taking him to the hospital at that time. And he's had a rolling week, and bless his heart. We went Tuesday to visit with him. Thought they had moved him, which they did. They moved him to a nursing home, not a nursing home, but a rehab center. We got to the rehab center and we couldn't find him there, and found him in the hospital. And so now today he's out of the hospital. Madison's in Louisville Hospital, and they had going to do two or three things for him and to him, but they've decided not to do that. And so hopefully then Tuesday he'll be moved to a rehab center. So he's doing pretty good. I talked to him this morning on the way out, and so he's feeling pretty good and doing better. But he's had some issues. He had fluid buildup last week, and they thought they was going to have to put a pacemaker on him and so forth, but God's working in good ways, and things are looking good, and he works well. So I ask you to continue to pray for him. It is doing. Frank Dornell is a new one on our prayer list here this morning. And Frank has cancer. And it's my understanding that it's moving fairly fast. It's uncurable. And so let's pray, you know, things can be turned around. God can turn things around for us. And so we just pray that God will have his way and do those things, what's his best for him. And so remember Frank. And who else do we have here that we want to make mention of? All right, and she's... reluctant to do that, but we're so glad that Donna's coming along, and we'll just continue to pray that she'll be all strengthened back and everything will be all right and things will go well there. Have a couple more here. Rachel Jewell is in the Sharon Cannon Research Center in Nashville, Tennessee. She is the daughter of Harlan Wilson, as we've mentioned before, the undertaker, the funeral director up there. And so if I understood that they have said that there's no cure for her, I think, is that right, Virginia, or somebody tell me?
She's gone down there, and they're going to do okay. Something on her to help her. She'll be going 2 days a week for 8 weeks, and then she'll be not doing anything for a while, and then they'll go back and check her and see how the cancer is doing, and hopefully the cancer will be gone.
Okay. So that cancer is a terrible thing. It's just to continue to pray that some way, somehow, we could have a breakthrough on that, and people could get relieved of that. It seems to be one of the major things that works against people, and so we want to be in prayer for them and pray that something could be done about it. We also have Carol Perry.
has been added to our prayer list. She is the grandmother of Sierra's friend Marvin. She is recovering from surgery, and then the possibility will have heart surgery. And so keep those folks in your prayers, and they will be added to our prayer list. We're so thankful that we have a group of people that are praying people, and we see the results from our prayers. So thank you, Mark. Pray for each other. Pray for one another. Look around and see. And pray against the storms down there. It's coming into Florida. Is that going to miss some of the area that they talked about? And so that's good. And so, but it still could be a very severe thing and people's lives in danger. So we just pray that people's lives will be spared. And, you know, you can always build a building back and always get those material things back. But lives are very, very important. So pray against that storm that people will be spared, their lives will be spared in it. And let's see some of this. Our care home, those who care for people in the nursing homes, the care homes, the hospitals, that the doctors and nurses that work so vigilantly helping people to feel good and to mend and so forth, they do their work. It's so wonderful. So wonderful that God uses them in such a great way. Our service people, and certainly for our nation, president, all the leaders in the nation, we say that week after week after week, but we need to keep that foremost in our minds. We live in this beautiful, wonderful nation, a nation that has always been free, and we want it to stay free. We want to be able to enjoy the freedom we have, and we want the leaders to look to God for guidance that we can stay that way, that we can be that godly, blessed nation. In fact, I would that we would be blessed in such a wonderful way that other nations would look upon America and say we want to be a part of that, of what that God has for them also. So much to be thankful for. Pray for the church itself, and then pray for one another. We have such a wonderful God doing so wonderful things for his people, and he wants to hear from us today. Let us go to him in prayer.
For our prayer hymn this morning, using number 253, saying the first and fourth verse, and Virgil will have the prayer. Let's all stand. Just when I need him, Jesus is here. Just when I falter, just when I fear, ready to help me, ready to cheer. Just when I need him most, just when I need him most. Just when I need him most, just when I need him, he is my all. Answering when upon him I call, tenderly watching lest I should fail. Just when I need. Is near to comfort and cheer just when I need him most.
Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the privilege we have together in your house and study and hear your word. We know whatever we have comes from you is our blessing as we receive every day. You always give us grace, mercy, love, and forgiveness. We come now and ask you to be your will, your healing touch on the ones on the prayer list, the ones in the nursing home, also for the shut-ins who are unable to attend. And we ask for safety for our men and women in the service. Father, we ask all these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The invitation to me, number 401, 401.
I hope so. That's it. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for the skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said, and today I'll walk beside him, for he knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't try to understand, but I know the future, and I know who holds my hand. Every step is getting brighter as the golden stairs I climb. Every burden's getting lighter. Every cloud is silver line. There the sun is always shining. There no tear shall dim the eye. At the ending of the rainbow, when the mountains touch the sky, many things about tomorrow I don't try to understand, but I know who holds the future, and I know who holds my hand. I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty, but the one who sends me sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path that be my portion may be through the flame or flood, but his presence goes before me, and I'm covered with his blood. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow.
That was beautiful, Kathleen, Virginia. Thank you very much. All right. So for those of you who go to Sunday school with us, I've had a few people comment about my prayers and about how long they are. Well, you're in for a treat because I got a lot to say this morning. All right. So who remembers what last Sunday's sermon was about? There's one. Benny, do you remember what you preached about? Do you remember what you preached about last Sunday?
Last Sunday, sure do.
It was, God makes the impossible possible. Amen, he does. So I have been working at the bank for going on 2.5 years now. Started as a customer service representative, and then in March-ish, April, I got promoted to manager, which was a blessing within itself. But customer service is not where I wanted to be. It's all I've ever known. Ever since I was like 17, that's all I've worked. So I didn't think I was ever going to get out because I don't have a degree of any sort. I don't have any college. And for the foreseeable future, it doesn't seem to be an option. But as Benny said, God makes the impossible possible. I was offered a back of house position, loan processing, the past week or two, and I didn't even apply for it, but it was given to me. And it's been a wonderful, crazy trip just to get to this moment. And one of the strongest things that has gotten me here, now this is going to test you all, Benny, not last year's, but the year before that, for New Year's, do you remember what you preached on?
Good man.
It was the first New Year's sermon I had received since I've been coming to church here, and it has stuck with me all this time. And it was a sermon about keeping a resolution of always looking to Jesus in everything that you do. Look to Jesus, look to Jesus, look to Jesus. And I truly believe it's because of him I'm where I'm at right now, and I'm so excited about this position and this change in my life. I've got a few other things in my life that I've had struggles figuring out how it's going to work out, but after seeing this, it don't really matter how I view it. God's going to take care of it. I don't know how, but he's an amazing God, and he makes the impossible possible. So I'm going to fumble through this song. Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Amen. I'm glad somebody remembers what I preach on. So here's one for you, Michael, you can work on. Last week we preached on, is there anything too hard for our God? And so next week we're going to preach on five things God cannot do. And so maybe six, but I thought of another one after it. But five things God cannot do for next week. This morning I want to talk to you for a little while about a four-letter dirty word. Work. Work. It's been Labor Day weekend. We thought we'd talk a little bit about laboring and work a little bit. And I preached from this passage several times, but I just had to go back to that, Donna, to get a title here that the abounding in the work of the Lord. And so, but before we get all finished with this, well, we will be back to that verse in a little bit. But Labor Day is the most hypocritical holiday that we have. Labor Day. And everybody doesn't want to work that day. You know, if we really wanted to celebrate Labor Day, what we'd do, we'd go in tomorrow and say, boss, I'm going to work today. I'm going to work for free. I just want to celebrate the Labor Day. We won't do that, will we? No. Labor Day. We you know, isn't it something? We want the day off and we want to get paid for it too. Labor Day. You know, if we're really serious about our labor, we would consider a few different things there. I know most people say, I don't want to work on Labor Day. And they want this three-day weekend, they expect to get paid for it. Most of us are mature adults in here. I say most of us are mature adults in here. And we're pretty well aware with one of the virtues that our nation's had for years. And has been that has been our work ethic. The early settlers, when they came here, those came from Europe and so forth, they had a great work ethic. Can't hardly pronounce those two words, work ethic. And they really had a mind to work. And my daddy used to make sure I had a mind to work. And if he didn't, he had a place he worked on me. But They had good work ethics, and they settled here, and the past history of America here, they were proud people. They displayed the great work ethics, and the work ethic has been rapidly declining, as you know. And as things are going, as we see things going right now, work ethic is going to probably continue to deteriorate. I read this story about this employer. He called all his employers into the meeting room and he said, we have purchased a number of robots. And he noticed on their face real quick and sadness on their face. And he said, oh, no, that's all right. He said, don't worry about it. You're not going to lose your job. He said, as a matter of fact, these robots is going to make it easier for you. In fact, we'll probably only have to work a 40-hour work week now that we have these robots. And he said, we're going to work on it, and probably we'll end up working 3 days a week just because of these robots. And you'll get paid the same. And he said, finally, we're probably going to get it worked down to maybe that you'll only have to come in 1 day a week, but you'll get paid the same. And that'll be on Wednesday. Some fellow in the back row raised his hand. You can almost see this, can't you? Do we have to come in every Wednesday? That's really working ethics, isn't it? That's about like us, isn't it? Yeah, he had a question. Will we come in on Wednesday? Yeah. You know, he sounds like some of us done it. Makes us look like us. The reason we continue to have a deteriorating work ethic is this. Because according to many people, God doesn't matter. And so if God doesn't matter, in fact, the whole society here wants to push God out. Our society right now is wanting God to get out of our business, get out of our workplace, get out of our state houses, get out of our schoolhouses, get out. And when God doesn't exist and where God isn't, what do we have?
decline in morale. And that is what's happening to America today. When God doesn't matter, there is a transcendent authority from God, because he's the ultimate power. But when he is done away with, when he is left out, things begin to disintegrate. And that's what's happening to us now. And that's what happened into our work week, our work process that we have. When God doesn't matter, morality doesn't matter. You can just live any way you want to. What's true for me is not true for you. What's good for me, it might not be good for you. We can just do what we want to and live the way we want to. Go to work when we want to. You know, there's a lot of people like that today. They'll go to work when they want to. Usually, you know, a lot of people, they tell me, and I read a survey years ago about Monday morning. You know what percent of the workforce don't show up? Great percent of the workforce don't show up on Monday morning, because of the weekend they've had, and they just don't want to go to work on Monday. Deteriorating morale, the morality, the activities that's taken place is deteriorating our workforce. When God doesn't matter, then morality doesn't matter, and there's a total collapse of moral commitment in our culture. You think about it today, and how many people are really committed? I don't know how they are in the auto industry up here in Georgetown, but I'd like to talk to somebody someday about how they look at what's taking place. How's the morale there? How does people look at it when they come to work? Are they really coming to work, or are they just coming for a paycheck and wanting to? You know, one guy says he didn't mind coming to work. It was just that there 8 hours waiting to go home. That's what bothered him most, you know. One fellow told the boss, said, "Boss," he said, "I'm really not getting paid fairly for the work I'm doing." And the boss said, "Yeah, Jim." He said, "But we just don't want you to starve." Yeah. You have to think on that one carefully. Yeah. When God doesn't matter, morality doesn't matter, in a total collapse of the moral commitment of culture, it doesn't matter then if sinful practices take place. It doesn't matter then about the homosexual thing. We just go on and pass laws where same sex can be married and all the sinful things can take place, and you can't say anything about a homosexual. You can't say anything about anybody that has some kind of a difference than you do, a thought, and so forth. You just have to accept that. They tell us that we as Christians ought to be tolerant, very tolerant, but I'm getting too tolerant. I don't know about you, but things are happening out there that we just can't be tolerant about. If God doesn't matter, then all these things are going to be. Dishonesty doesn't matter. You can lie. If God doesn't exist and there's no morality, you can just lie. And lie whatever you want to gain whatever you want. You can steal. Don't have to go to work. Just steal what other people's got. Nothing matters. Do your own thing. Live the way you want to. Go to work when you want to. Don't work if you don't want to. I really think that the government had a good idea, but I don't see them carrying it out. They said that every person that was able-bodied person that was on relief of any kind has to work. And I believe that ought to happen. I believe in helping the poor. I believe that we ought to help the poor. I believe that we ought to help those who can't help themselves. But I believe those people that are able-bodied people that's on a relief of some kind on your tax dollars, not a, you know, they say, "Well, that's just the government." No, it's not. It's your tax dollar. That they ought to have to work. And if they don't make enough as what they've been given for relief, that's all right. We'll give them more. But they ought to have to work, every able-bodied person. No, they don't want to work. The morality, they want to lay around, watch TV, drink Pepsis, do away with God. We do away with the Bible. We do away with the Bible. We do away with the laws that God has set forth for human, for mankind. And for the behavior of mankind. For the behavior of mankind. God is the author of morality. God is the one who has set the laws. God is the one that has set forth what is right and what is wrong. Do away with God. Do away with the Bible. Set forth that is set forth for the will of God. God's will is for us to do good. God's will is for us to prosper. God's will is for us to enjoy life. God's will is for us to be well. But mankind is what? He's really messed that up, hasn't he? We have messed that up. And we can't enjoy the good things God has for us because we rather be immoral. Join them immoral people. Go with the immoral people. It just kind of goes against my grain with some of the things that are happening. I don't know whether any of you have noticed, seen the thing on Channel 27. I had it on the other day and probably some of the others. But I forget the school and I should have went back and looked. But there's a school someplace, and some of you might have seen this. If you did, well, you'll know what I'm talking about. There's a school someplace, and evidently, a couple kids, a couple boys or girls, I don't know who they were, a couple young people wore shirts that has the gay thing. You know, put them down. But, but you know, everybody's got their signs, they got their flags, and they got their colors and all that. So somehow or another, it appeared to me that this article was that a couple of people had wore these shirts which were colored as the color that gays has, in which that's their thing. And evidently, the principal didn't like that and told him that wasn't proper. And evidently, he may be dispelled or whatever. But now, as the news says, the principal apologized to them. And the principal said, they can wear their gay colors. And if you've seen that, anybody see that? Okay, there's one, two back there, three saw that. I'm not going to tell you, but you saw what was on those shirts. And I won't use the words that's on them. And they say, yeah, we apologize. You can now have that. Where's our morality? Where are we going to? Look what's happening. That's what's happening to us. And that's why we're in the shape we're in. And so that brings me to really what I want to talk to you about today. God made man. And every man ought to realize it. God made man. And he made man in the image of himself, God. And if there's any one thing that we can see about God is this. That God worked. And God works. It says, in the beginning God created, and he made the heavens and the earth, all that's in them. He made them in his image. And the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and all that is in them. He divided the light from the darkness and called it day. He divided the earth from the water, and all the grass and the herb and trees came forth. And he just worked. And the scripture tells us, and I think it's maybe Genesis 2:15, I'm not too sure, Genesis 2:15, but nevertheless, whatever the verse, wherever it's at, it says that God worked. And when he had finished his work, he rested on the seventh day. God worked. Now, if God made man in the image of God, man was made to work. Well, look at Adam and Eve. You know, somebody trying to tell me that work was a result of sin. That's not true. Work was here before sin was. Think back about the story of the Garden of Eden. And God made man. And he made them both male and female. And they're in the Garden of Eden. And what did God tell them? He said, all this is yours. The most beautiful place that was ever created on this earth was the Garden of Eden. Man, they had it made. Look at all those fruit trees, Adam. Look at all those berry vines there, Eve. You can just enjoy that. Lay down under the shade tree when you wish. But here's what you got to do. You got to keep it. You got to keep it. Forget the words of these, but anyhow, he said, you got to work and keep this thing. If you're going to enjoy this beautiful place I have for you here, you're going to have to work to keep it. So you see, work came in. And it was when Adam and Eve were about their work is when the serpent came, and then came sin. So work is not a curse. You might be offended by this, but let me say, work is a blessing. Isn't it a blessing to be able to work? Hey, the curse was in the ground. The curse was now. You got to work, and your work, you got to work by the sweat of your brow to earn your bread. A place where they had everything going for them. Everything was at ease, it was a leisure. Now, your work is going to be hard. And that's where we're at today, isn't it? Man continues to do that. To abuse and misuse what God has given. And our work gets harder and harder. And there's more sweat. Man was made to work. Adam and Eve were in a paradise. And you know, when we read the scripture and see how God had planned for mankind, we had a paradise going for us. Right now, we've got good things going for us if we only do what God says to do. If we'll look at this book and study this book and learn what God has in store for us, if we'll abide by His word, it could be a close to a paradise. Some of you are living better than others. Pretty nice, isn't it? But think about what it could be if we had did our work properly and did the things that God tells us properly. God instituted work. But there are some who do not. They do not or will not work. Listen to some verses here I have. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. This is the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul is there at Thessalonica. And he's been ministering there among the people. And he writes to them and he says this. For even when we were with you, that we commanded you, listen, he said, that we commanded you, that if any man would not work, neither should he eat. Wow. Boy, you would get stoned today if you would go out on the street corner and say that, wouldn't you? Any man that don't work shouldn't eat. He's not putting down poor people, disabled people. He's putting down able-bodied people, he says. Any man that won't work, that tells us that person is able to work. And if he's able to work and won't work, he shouldn't eat. Man. Jesus said, well, here in Proverbs 18, 19, he also that is slothful, that is, slothful in his work. That's the guy that goes around, you know, and just with his head down, and boy, his work is misery. You know, wouldn't it be awful to work at a job that it was misery for you? 8 hours at work and it's all misery. This is what writer of Proverbs talk about. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that's wasteful. That is a waster. A great waster, as a matter of fact, he says. If you're not doing your work, if you're begrudging your work, trying to do the least you can to get by, you are worse than a brother that is a great waster. I worked in Cincinnati for 10 years for a rural construction company. And I've told this story maybe here before, I don't know. But we had to hire minorities. Certain jobs we got, we had government jobs, city jobs, and so forth. We had hired different ones, which is all right. But there was a time that we hired some guys, and we had that there. And I had two of them. And when they come in on morning, because what had taken place, I said, you guys go over and sit. Just sit over there.
And when noontime comes, we'll holler at you. And the boss come in there one day, and he said, why is those two guys sitting over? I said, boss, if those two guys was over here helping us, they deter our work and we don't get as much done. They're better off sitting over there. You know there's a lot of people like that. They're a hindrance. And God says, if you don't work, you're a hindrance. And you think about the people that aren't working today. And they're a hindrance to our government. They're a hindrance to you and your work. And I'm not just trying to put down people who don't work. I'm talking about people who are well able to work. Good, strong, robust men and women. But I'll tell you one thing. We had also on that job, we had two women. We had to hire certain ones. And them two women, they was in the workforce. Those two women helped our work more than those two guys sitting over there. I said, we'll just pay you. You just sit there and don't bother us. My sister, Edith, and I shouldn't tell this, but it's a true story. Our brother Frank, he's 2 years younger than me. And my sister Edith is 2 years older than me. And so my dad would send us out to do the chores. Dad would go to work and he'd say, now this is what I want you to do today. And my brother Frank had a little bit of a lazy streak, a whole lot of a lazy streak. And he would hinder us. And so we finally got, when we had a chore to do out there, before we got there, we'd just beat him up. Yeah. We'd beat him up and he'd go back crying to mama. And mama would say, what are you doing, Frank, that way? We'd say, mom, he's a hindrance to us. We get along better without him. We get done quicker without him. Keep him in the house. Yeah. They laugh about that now. Even Frank at one time laughed about that. But you know, I think he took advantage of that. I really do. And you know, I believe people in the workplace will take advantage of you like that. They really will. And do you know that Christians will do that? People in the church will do that sometimes. They'll take advantage of you. And they say, well, if George is going to do it, let George do it. You know the story about George doing everything. I won't tell you now. But everybody puts everything on George. Did you know my name's George? It is. My grandson didn't know that for many years. One of my grandsons. We were at Shoney's one day. That's just been a year or two ago. Zach was with us. Zach and Kyle. They came to church here. We went to dinner. And a fellow that knew me that I used to bank at where he worked. And of course, you know, you have to have all your whole legal name on any of your documents, don't you, Michael, at the bank. And so this fella, I wasn't even around a whole lot, but somewhat. Only thing he knew me was by my full name. And so he happened to come in behind us in the line, and he said, well, hello, George. And Zach said, is his name George? Yeah, let George do it, but don't let me do it. Don't make me do it. Okay, all right, back at Matthew 7:20. This is Jesus. Jesus says, and then will I profess. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Oh, you lazy guy that won't work, get away from me. Depart from me, I never knew you. Now, let me share this with you. God works. Jesus said, my Father works and I work. Jesus said, the things I do my Father wants me to do. I work for my Father. God has a good work. Jesus came and did a good work. And I are invited into his work. Good work. The greatest work, the most profitable work that a person can ever enter into. Talk to some people out And you might have been one that think that you had to do all the work, that you had to earn everything if you was ever going to have anything. But boy, when I learned that wasn't true, when I learned that God was my provider, I went to work for God. He is my boss now. And in my work, I worked that way, and my work become profitable. Well, 1 Corinthians 15:8, as we close up here, that's the verse we started with that I chose to kind of get my work from. And he says here, therefore, my beloved brethren, this is Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthians, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. One time, years ago, down in Pendleton County, this German fellow, which is a fine fellow, nothing wrong with being a German fellow. My mother was German ancestor. But anyhow, I did a lot of work for him in over the years, several years. And so he called me in there one day to his place. He said, Benny, he said, I want to take you back here and show you a project I want to do. And so I went back there. And man, I'd worked all over his farm. And he said, I want to build this dam across here and across here and leave this creek open so that when this water comes down here, that will block it. It won't flood my bottom so quick. And I looked at that and I said, man, to myself, that's not feasible. That's not feasible. And I said to him, I said, sir, I don't want to do it. And he said, why? I said, it won't work. It's not feasible. And I'd just be working in vain. You know, no good out of it. Nothing would come of it. In fact, it'd be more harm than it would good. But what's this verse say? When you work for the Lord, your work is not in vain. Your work is not in vain. So he says, first of all, be steadfast. You know, that is to be very confident of the truth of the doctrine of the resurrection and everything pertaining to it. If we really heartfully, mindfully believe and understand that Jesus died on Calvary for us and all the things that goes with that, if we stand fast in that, look what it says, unmovable, you stand fast in, don't let anything move you from it. Well, Paul was dealing here with some false teachers and so forth. Don't let anybody tell you something false that will take you away from your steadfastness of the resurrection. How many people today are preaching against Jesus? Many, I won't say many, a number of them don't believe that Jesus went to the cross. That he died for you and I. Don't let people deceive you of that. If there's anything true, anything at all true, it is that God loved you and Jesus died for you and me. And we need to be steadfast in that, unmovable. Don't let anybody move us away from that. Always abounding. Now with that in sight, always abounding, what that verse says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So you now have this in your heart, your mind, and your life. You then are working. And you abound in the work of the Lord. And your daily work, your work at the factory, your work at wherever you're working, has to do with over here what Jesus has done. And if you'll work according to what takes place there, I was thinking of the verse that says, you know, all things that you do in the, help me out. Anyhow, forgot the verse. But
Do it until as you're doing it, whatever you're working at. If you're a seamstress, if you're a steam engine operator, do it as if you were doing it for the Lord. Abound in the work of the Lord. That is to be obedient to His word, ever believing in the workmanship of God. Listen, God has a work for us. If we'll do His work, we will ever be blessed like you've never been blessed before. Some of you people have experienced that. Hope everybody experiences that. He that worked not to bring glory to God and to good men, that is got another thing. We're working toward God, to honor and glorify God, and we're working for the benefit of our fellow man, our fellow Christians. We must work to bring glory to God and to man and acknowledge as a servant of Christ. And if he be not a servant, though, if we're not a servant, we're not a son. And if we're not a son, we're not an heir to the good things that God has for us. He must not only work, but he must abound in the work, and exceedingly not only for time, but for always continue to bring glory to God. Three, four verses, and we'll finish. Think about this. John 9:4, Jesus said, I must work. Jesus said, I must work the work that him that sent me. I must work the work that him has sent me while it's day. Night cometh when no man can work. We better get busy. We better be busy. As a church, as individuals, work in the work of the Lord. Luke 10:2. Therefore, said he unto them, this is Jesus. And Jesus is looking out over hundreds, maybe thousands of people. His disciples is there with him, and the people have just thronged Jesus. And he's looking out, and he sees people coming through the field. You know, you could walk through the fields. They had paths coming through the fields. And Jesus could look out and see the people coming. People wanted to hear Jesus. And this is what Jesus said to them, to his disciples, to his followers, to the believers. He says, the harvest truly is great. What's he saying? There's a great work to be done out there. The harvest is truly great and the laborers are few. Wow. Laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he would send laborers into the harvest. To the harvest. Friends, we need to be laboring for the Lord. And we need to be praying that the Lord would send workers into the fields to work. Why? Because if you was in our Bible class this morning, you'd know why. Time is running out. Immorality is going to overrun us. And our immorality, when it gets as sudden as Gomorrah, which is not far from it, what's going to happen? God's going to say it's enough. Are you the one that's going to be led out? Is Jesus going to take you out before that happens? I hope so. But he says, you know, workers, just think of the people that are not prepared. And if you're prepared, you ought to help people to be prepared. Okay, Matthew 16:27, Jesus said, For the Son of Man shall come in his glory of his Father with his angels, and shall he reward every man according to his work. Now there's a difference between the work and rewards and the salvation. A person can be saved and be lazy as can be. You know, I really believe that there's lazy people saved. And that lazy person that's saved could just sit down over there and he'll get to heaven. I believe that could happen. But Jesus says, he that work the work of the Lord will be rewarded. Those who diligently work, you working in your workplace, how many of you have received bonuses because you did a good work? The other people, they got their paycheck, and they're still working there, and they're working there, and they still get their paycheck, but you got a bonus. Why? Because you was doing the good work. And God deals that way also. You do the Lord's work, and Jesus says when he comes, when he gathers up his own and takes them home, you are going to get a greater reward than that lazy, saved person over there. Are you a worker? Are you lazy? If you're lazy, you better get off on it. You won't have any rewards. You might be saved, but you won't get rewards. That's what Jesus says. Last one is this, Revelation 22 and 12. Behold, he says. When you read that word, behold, it means pay attention. Listen closely. Behold, I come quickly. Hey. And my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. Who's your employer?
I don't want that. I want this. Who's your employer? You want to work for the best employer? You want to work at the best job that you ever had? You want to be rewarded like no one else will be rewarded? Come as we stand and sing the first verse. Venture to say he's going to lead you into some work this week. I really do. But isn't it wonderful work for the Lord? Hey, we're so glad. Tina and Ron has been with us now for some time, and we're so glad they are. We just love them. And this morning, Ron's going to ask God's blessing on us as we leave. Amen. Thank you, Ron.